welcome to class today. Those of you that decided to show up. So I have been asked to announce, it still seems silly to me, but apparently there's some thought there might be a case of mumps on campus. So I'm supposed to encourage you all to wash your hands and not touch sick people. Case of mumps, in theory. Hopefully you're not shaking hands with sick people as a regular rule anyway, but anyway, that's something I'm supposed to warn you of. That said, any comments, questions, concerns, or other things for me before we get into the topic for the day? And silence reigns supreme. Okay. Let me just talk briefly about lab and homework. So the first part of the lab mentioned that you should not, in general, create scanners inside methods. Unless the purpose of the method is to create a scanner, you generally shouldn't be reading input, shouldn't be printing in general. And so just want to sort of make sure that sunk in and how that means. So in this first method that you're writing, read CSV, you don't need to create a scanner because one comes in as a parameter. So you have a scanner. It's called CSV. It's there. Somebody gave it to you so you can use it. In all of the other methods, such as get rows, you also don't need to make a scanner because they pass in not the scanner, but the result of read CSV. Okay? So you have an input in all six of these methods. For the first one, it's a scanner. For the rest of them, it is a CSV file already parsed out into rows of strings, except Purplify, which doesn't need to read anything anyway. So just wanted to make sure that's clear. Any questions about how you avoid using scanners or how the methods work together? Yes? Can I talk about the fifth method? Yeah. You are confused about the fifth method.
Mean return, the polygon. So like it says like create polygon name is P.
Yep.
You just say return P.
So if you create a polygon named P, then if you use P here, then you would return P. If you use some other name there, you'd return whatever that other name is. Any other questions, things I should clarify about the homework? Yes?
What is clamping?
All right. So clamping, here it says that the numbers you pass into the color constructor required to be integers, they're required to be between 0 and 255. So if it gets outside that range, you just squeeze it down into that range. Right? So if you find 23.5, you pass in 23, turn it to an int. If you get 3058, that's bigger than 255, so you use 255. If it's some negative number, you use 0. So you just clamp it to that range. Does that answer your question? Yes. Other questions? Okay. I will also just remind you, had a couple people mention this, but it's in your interest to think about how to test your methods. We don't give you input outputs, except for the whole homework assignment at the end. It's worthwhile making sure you think about, do I know if I did this right? You will get limited feedback if you submit your code. Basically, the feedback will say, yeah, we think you did it right, or no, we don't, for each method. It won't give you a lot of details about what you might have done wrong. So you'll want to think about how to test it on your own as you go along. All right. So, that said, I want to talk about sort of two pieces of classes. We're going to talk briefly about this. Then we're going to talk more about how you write classes, some issues with getters and setters and private. May get to toString at the end, we'll see. Starting to sort of tie down some of the details about how objects work when you're writing classes. So the first thing I want to do is talk about this. Okay. The magical this that shows up in code, and if you leave it out, it usually doesn't hurt, but it might sometimes, and it's hard to predict, and yada. Anyway, we're going to try to figure out what's going on with this today with a brief picture. We'll draw some more pictures on Monday, and you'll have a chance to draw a few as well. So, I need to start off by making a very basic class, so I'm going to make a public class, human. I'm going to model humans. Okay? And what do we need to know about humans? Clearly, there is only one thing that's interesting about humans. It's their ability to eat. A human can eat. And all that humans can eat in my world is donuts. So they can eat some number of donuts. That's what humans can do. And what happens when you eat a donut? You gain weight. This dot weight plus equals donuts. So if you eat 5 donuts, you gain 5 weight. We're not bothering with units today. Okay? There's our method. That's all we're going to model about humans, but to make that work, we're also going to have a field. So we're going to make ourselves an int weight. Okay? Here's our class. Just for illustration purposes, intentionally designed to be very lightweight, not do much interesting. But before we move on to drawing pictures, any questions about this class I have just written on the board? Okay. So I have this class. I'm going to need to use this class, so I'm also going to write a main method. Okay? So somewhere else I'm going to have a main whatever method. Okay. I'm going to use shorthand. We know what main looks like, right? It may be in the human class. It's probably somewhere else. And what's going to happen in my main method is I'm going to make a human. I'm going to be very creative and call my human H. Make a new human. Okay. So I make a human named H. And then I'm just going to tell my human to eat. The first time my human eats, he's going to eat 3 donuts. Then he's going to eat 4 donuts. And that's going to be my whole main method. Okay? And what we're going to do is sort of walk through what does memory look like as we run this code. So before I walk through what memory looks like, anyone want to ask any question clarifying the code itself? Yes?
So the human H equals new human, does that make a constructor?
Does it make a constructor? It's invoking a constructor. New human parenthesis is invoking a constructor.
Is human parenthesis a constructor?
The constructor is a method implicitly defined in the human class. I have not written one, so Java gives me one for free.
Which one's the constructor?
The constructor method does not appear on this slide. Java is giving me one for free because I didn't write one. If I were to write a constructor, it would write it up here in the human class. But I didn't. I don't have a constructor there right now. We'll see some constructors later today. Other questions? Yes?
Why is the method eat not static?
Why is it not static? Good question. Static versus non-static, what do they mean? Static means it does not depend on a particular object. Non-static, it does. So if I had a static method eat inside humans, then it would make sense to talk about human eat instead of Tom eat or Sarah eat or whatever. Non-static methods, I have to talk to a particular human, H in this case. If it was static, I would talk to the whole concept of human. So when we're writing objects, we don't use static. Static is for methods that sort of stand on their own. Behaviors of objects, non-static methods. Other questions? Okay, let's draw some pictures about what's going on here. So, the first thing that happens is we run the main method. So, that means Java is going to have to create some memory for main. Memory appears for main. Inside this memory, we put the parameter, which is args for main, and who really cares what it equals? It's some array of strings, neither here nor there, it's value, but it exists. So that gets built right when we invoke main. And then the first line of main we see creates a human object. So we're going to make a box called H that can hold humans. That's what the human H means, make the box that can hold a reference to a human. And then the new human is going to create somewhere over here a human object for H to talk about. A, the equal sign draws the arrow. So this one line, human H, makes the box in main's memory. New human makes the box somewhere else out where we can actually put a real human in it. And every human has a weight. So because every human has a weight, our box is going to have a weight. Java initializes things that we don't give initialization values with zero false or null, zero for ints. So this creates a zero weight human and says H talks about this zero weight human. Okay? Questions about that? Yes?
So does the H box contain human or a pointer to human?
It contains a pointer to human. Humans and all other objects are effectively too big to fit in the memory of a method. It's not actually size that's the issue, but that's a reasonable way of thinking about it. So anytime I have an object, I just have a pointer out to wherever that object is located, the address of it, if you will. Yes?
On the previous slide, all the yellow writing for the main method, is all that supposed to go where the yellow arrow is?
No, sorry. Let me change my color coding. So the yellow arrow was answering a question, where would a constructor be? We don't have a constructor. If we did, it'd be there. But the main method, it could be in the human class. Usually it would be in some other class. I don't really care what the class is. Yes?
Does the weight have to have an initial value?
Does weight have to have an initial value? When Java creates arrays or objects, it initializes all of the primitives inside with zero, false, or null. So in this case, it's an int, so it initializes it with zero. It does it for us. We'll see a little bit later how we could change what initializes to, but it'll give us zero for by default. Okay, so first line makes this. What's the second line do? H.eat3. This is a method invocation. So we remember when we invoke a method, a new chunk of memory gets stacked on top of whatever we had before. I'm not going to actually try drawing it on top. But this will cover up main. We won't see main anymore. We will see instead the memory for the eat method invocation. So eat will get stacked on top of main. And when eat is created, as with all methods that get created, its parameters get values. So it has one parameter called donuts. So donuts is going to get a value initially, and that value is going to come from the argument. So eat was invoked with 3, so 3 gets copied into donuts because the parentheses match up. So we put a 3 there. Okay? When we create a non-static method, we add one more piece automatically without asking it to. Java just does it. It adds this. So this, just like a parameter, it's automatically there. It gets a value from whoever invoked this method. And the value that goes into this is the value of whatever was on the left side of the period. So over here I had h.eat. So the value of h will be the value of this inside my eat method. So this will point to the same thing that h points to. And that, again, will happen just as we're starting to set up for running the method. We don't have to do anything to make that happen. Because eat is not void, this will exist. It will get its value from the left side of the period where it was invoked. Okay? So this gets set up automatically for us, and then the method does what it says it's supposed to do. So I have this dot wait. So this dot wait. So the dot follows the arrow. We're talking about the wait variable. Oops. And what does it say to do with it? It says add donuts to it. So donuts was 3. We're adding 3 to 0. So we're going to put a 3 into the wait box for this human. Any questions about that? All right. At this point, the invocation of eat is done. We hit the closing curly brace. Because we hit the closing curly brace, that means this activation record, this memory for the method, just goes away. And human has gained weight. Human H has gained weight, but we're back in main. We pick up where we left off. The next thing that happens is another invocation of eat. So we invoke eat again. Eat pops back into existence. Eat once again gets initialized with this because it's dot static, as with donuts, because that's its parameter. Donut in this case gets 4 because that's what's inside the parentheses. And this again gets H because that's still what's on the left side. So eat pops back into existence. Eat does what eat does, which is this dot weight plus equals donuts. So weight's going to change up to 7. And eat will vanish again. And that will be our whole method. Any questions? Yes?
This gets
the value in the this box of eat is the value that was on the left side of the period. So the value of the H box in main.
Okay. So it doesn't go to like H and then E?
No. No, we cannot. You can't have boxes point to variables. They have to point to things. Okay? So they have to point to objects or arrays somewhere out in memory. I also could not have a box that points to the weight variable of the person. I can only point to the whole person. Any other questions? Okay. One more thing to know about this. If we did not write this dot, if we just said weight plus equals donuts, Java is going to try to guess which weight we meant. It will first look for a local variable called weight, and it won't find any because I did not declare any local variables in my eat method. It will then try looking for a parameter named weight, and it won't find that either because our parameter is named donuts. It will then try a human.weight, a static variable named weight. It will then try a this.weight, and finally it will find it. If it didn't find this.weight, it actually tried two or three more things as well. It's a whole series of things it'll try to guess if you leave off the whatever dot. Often that will do the right thing. Sometimes it won't. So I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to try to remember myself, to always write this dot in front of your variables, if they are indeed belonging to the object. Leave it off. It will probably still work. It might not. So I will intentionally skip that a couple times today to see if you catch it. We'll talk about it, but you'll always want to use this dot. It will prevent various kinds of errors that are hard to diagnose otherwise. But you can leave it off, and it will run because Java will guess what we meant. That's everything I wanted to say about this. Any questions about this before we switch gears a little bit? Okay. So what we're going to do today is we're going to design a class. We're going to design a class to represent fractions. So I'm going to design a class. When I design classes, I like to do UML class diagrams, which we may remember are 3 boxes stacked on top of each other. In the top one, we put the name of the thing we are modeling, fraction. Then we put attributes and methods. So take just a few seconds, talk to whoever's next to you or to yourself if you're by yourself, and come up with a few attributes and a few methods you think belong to the fraction class. Okay. What's an attribute? Somebody give me an attribute. Yes.
Numerator.
All right. We are starting out with the hard ones. Numerator. What type of thing is the numerator?
The top part of the fraction.
Yes, but what Java type does it have?
Oh, wait,
int. Numerators are integers in most fractions. Yes. Sign? Okay, so we want to have a sign. What type of thing will sign have? Boolean. Okay, let's talk briefly about naming things. If I say this fraction has a sign of true, how do you know? How it might be negative. Okay? It's useful when we're naming things to make the name plus the value have meaning. So instead of sign, I might say positive. Now, if I say the positive is true, you know it's positive. If I say positive is false, you know it's negative. Okay? So it means more with a different name. Makes it easier for us to understand and make sure our code is correct. Other attribute. Yes? Value. What type of thing will the value have?
Double.
Okay, so we can have value, double. Okay, other attributes? Yes?
Denominator.
Which would be, I assume, still an int. Do we want any more?
Remainder?
Oh boy, all right, so we can have a remainder. What type of thing is the remainder? Double? Remainder is a double? Okay, we got so many pieces here. All right, how many of these are necessary to specify a fraction? I'm hearing twos, I'm hearing twos. I'm hearing one. Oh boy, all right. There's different ways of doing this. Do I need, if I have numerator and denominator, do I also need the value? Nope. If I have numerator and denominator, do I also need the remainder?
No.
Nope. If I have the numerator and denominator, do I also need the sign? Some disagreement. Turns out the ints can be positive or negative, so I could just use whether the numerator is positive or negative, whether the denominator is positive or negative, to get the sign. So it's possible to do this whole class using just numerator and denominator. Okay? Do you have to use just numerator and denominator? No. But it's a good idea to make sure that you don't have the ability for your fraction to be in an inconsistent state. So you don't want duplication of information, both because we're lazy and because we want to make sure it's easy to keep it in a consistent state. And we'll just use numerator and denominator today because it makes the code easier and we want to be able to get through it in class. So we'll just use those two attributes. How about some methods? Yes?
Set numerator.
Why would I have a set numerator method? Well, couldn't I just say dot numerator equals? So unclear. We'll come back to this. We'll add set numerator in a bit, but we'll start out without it. Yes?
Simplify.
What will simplify? So if I have a simplify method, what information do I have to pass in to simplify for it to do its job? Do I need to supply a numerator and denominator for a fraction to simplify itself? No. Okay, so something to think about when you're designing methods for a class. They automatically have access to one object of the type of the class you're working with. Okay? So all of the methods for a fraction will have access to one fraction for free, called this. So I don't have to supply any particular numerator and denominator for simplify, because simplify only depends on one fraction. And we're going to say simplify is void. It's just going to change the numerator and denominator of this, not give us anything back. Just change this as it sits. We don't have to do that, but that's how we're going to do it. Other methods. Yes?
Get numerator.
Again, why would I do that? Can't I just say object.numerator? We'll see that we will do this, but we're not just yet. Yes?
Add.
Okay, so I have an add method. Add method. What information do I have to provide add? So, do I have everything I need? Suppose I'm talking to fraction 3/4, and I say, 3/4, add. What else do I have to say to complete this sentence? Another fraction. So we're going to add a fraction to another fraction. And the result of adding a fraction to another fraction is? Another fraction. So many fractions. Okay. So we'll see what this looks like in code in a minute. Let's also mention these other things we thought were fields. We can make all of those into methods. So suppose I want that value. I can make a getValue method that returns a double. Okay? GetValue makes some sense here because I don't already have access to it. Yes?
So you
method that returns a fraction, like you do public's fraction?
I can make a method that returns a fraction. Once I've created the fraction class, even while I'm still writing it, fraction is now a type that exists in the language, and I can use it the same way I do a string or scatter or ArrayList or anything else. So I can return it, I can put in the parameters, I can do anything I want with it. Okay, we could add a lot more things here to our fractions. And exactly what we pick has some interest to it, but we're going to jump right into code from this point here, which is going to require me to move things around on this desk because it's so small. Yikes. Okay, for some reason half of my image vanished. But that's okay. We'll pretend like it didn't. Alright, so we are going to work to actually write a fraction class in Eclipse. So I'm going to turn that diagram we had into a class. And so the first thing I'm going to have to do is make a new class. And I will name it Fraction because Fraction is what I'm calling this class I'm making. I don't need a main method in Fractions. We'll get rid of that main method. This is describing... Why does the delete key not work? That is very strange. My delete key is not working. Okay. So, fractions. Anytime I make a class, I'm going to just sort of copy over what I had in my diagram, which is now on the other screen, but I remember what it was. I had an int numerator, an int denominator. I'm going to get tired of writing those out, so I'm going to change them to numer and denom. Okay. And then we had... What methods did we have? We had a public void simplify... And we had a public fraction add to another fraction, which I will call that. I don't have to call it that. I can call it anything I want, but I'll call it that. And we had a public double get value. Okay? Now what's left is the oh-so-difficult task of actually writing this code. So... How do I write this code? How do I get the value of this? I just need to... Well, the value is just the division, right? Numer divided by denom. There are several things wrong with the get value method I just wrote. Yes? I should say this dot. Yes, I should always say this dot. And presumably I want the same thing for denom. Okay. Still something wrong with this method. Yes?
Numerator and denominator ints, but you have to do
a double. Ah! Int divided by int gives me an int. It will throw away the remainder. I better give a double here. Okay? I'll just cast one of them to double. It doesn't matter which one. Anything left still broken with it? Okay. If I want to add two fractions together... How do I do that? Who remembers how to add fractions? So you'd have to do the cross multiplying to normalize, and then sum, right? So the new numerator is going to be this is numerator times that's denominator plus this is denominator times that's numerator. Okay, that's the new numerator, the new denominator. Oops. Is going to be this dot. This is denominator times that's denominator. If you don't happen to remember this, congratulations, you've moved on with your life. We all used to know this in elementary school, right? How we add fractions. And then I just need to return a new fraction. That uses num and denom, then rather, as its numerator and denominator. Okay. All right. So, I have that one. Simplify. How do you simplify a fraction? This one's ugly. So, how do you simplify a fraction? You look for all numbers bigger than 1, but less than or equal to the denominator. And if both the numerator and the denominator are divisible by I, then you divide both of them by it. Okay, so I want to say if this is numerator is divisible by I, so if the result of the remainder is 0 there, and this denominator modulo I is 0, then the numer gets divided by I, and so does the denominator. This is ugly. Simplifying fractions is not pleasant. There are more elegant ways of doing it with Euclid's algorithm and so on, but this is sufficient. This will simplify our fraction. Any questions about any piece of this code? Yes?
Why is it red?
Why is it red? You tell me. Why does it have red squiggly under new fraction? Num denun. Den. Anyone? Yes? I didn't define that constructor. So I'm looking at the fraction class. Do you see a constructor that takes 2 its? No. So I need to create one. And if I mouse over this, it will say, oh yeah, one of the options is to create that. So I'll just have it create it. Great. So let's make that constructor. Constructors are easy. They just need to set up the values of all of the values, all the fields. Okay? Any other questions? All right, let's try out our method. Try out our class, rather. So I'm going to make a new class. I'm going to call it test fraction because I'm going to make a class for testing fractions. Okay? So what I'm going to have to do to make a test that class test fractions is make a new fraction. Oh, let's pick a very complicated fraction. How about 2/6? Okay? And then I'm going to just use some method. So system.out.println. How about f.getValue? So we can get the value. We can add f to f. And what else can we do with our... Yeah, let's actually make another fraction so we can see if the add's working well. How about 5/3 for g? Okay, so we'll add f and g, and we can f dot simplify and print out f. Okay, so how do you test methods? You write a main method, invokes all of the methods, you print out what happens, and you see if it does the right thing. This assumes you can tell if it did the right thing or not by looking. So I'm going to run this, and I'm going to see that indeed the value of f is 0.33333333333. And then I see garbage for the other two. But at least it ran, and I got the right value. Hooray! That's one win. So this is what we got so far. Questions? Yes?
Can you go back to the fraction class?
I can. Look, I just did.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Can you pause it there for a minute? Like, leave it?
Yes. I should comment after class. I will post all of this code in the lecture notes.
Oh, really?
So you don't have to copy it all down unless that just makes you happy. In general, if I write code that is not like code that was in the lecture notes, I post the code in the lecture notes. Yes?
When you have the public fractions, add fraction, and
you
have new fraction, how did you make fraction an object?
How did I make a fraction into an object? By writing public class fraction. The moment I wrote public class fraction was now an object. It's kind of odd to think about that I can define fractions in terms of fractions, but it works. As long as it's not sort of infinitely self-defining, Java will make sense out of it. Any other questions? Okay. Let's talk about this fraction at whatever. Java gives every new object a small set of methods. Gets them for free. All objects get them. All new types of objects get them. One of them is a method called toString that can turn an object into a string. And this is what the strings it generates look like. The name of the class, an at sign, and some random gibberish. Okay? Not particularly helpful. It does mean I can print it out because I can turn it into a string, but it's not a very useful way of doing that. So one of the things we often, almost always, want to do in our classes is change what their string looks like. The way we change what the string looks like is we have to write a method that looks exactly like what Java expects it to look like. Public, string, toString. I cannot change any part of those names because that's the method that Java will look for to figure out how to turn this thing into a string. And then I can make the method do anything I want as long as it returns a string. So I could, for example, return this.numer, divide sign, and this.denominator. Okay? I could pick a different representation if I want. There's no magic to this. As long as it is a string, Java will be happy. By creating a toString method, anytime Java wants to represent my object as a string, it will invoke the toString method. So I can see now that 2/6 plus 3/5 is 36/18. And I can see that when I simplify 2/6, I get 1/3. So it's much easier to tell what's going on. Now, you'll notice in this code over here, I never invoke toString. toString does not appear in test fraction. Java will implicitly invoke toString a lot of different places, but amongst them are inside print statements, and anytime I try to add a string to an object with the plus sign. It'll invoke toString to turn that object into a string before it does the rest. You had a question?
Yeah, I was just wondering because I know that like when you try to print and write, it's the same thing.
Yeah. Is there a toString for arrays? There is, but it's not in the array class. Arrays have no methods, which is why it has to use the built-in one. But let's quickly go down there. If I make an array x, let's say 2, 3, 4, okay? And as you pointed out, if I print out x, it's going to give me sort of that built-in gibberish. There is a class called arrays that has a toString method in it, a static toString method that will turn an array into a string. Okay? It is not built into array objects because arrays are not objects, they have no methods, including a toString method. But somebody wrote one, they put it in something called arrays, so if you really need to turn an array into a string, you can. Other questions? Okay, so toString. Do you have to write it? No, Java will provide one if you don't. Do you want to write it? Yes, because otherwise you can't tell what's going on when you print things out. And without printing things out, it's kind of hard to debug. All right. Now let's break our fraction. We always love breaking things, right? Okay, so far I have this nice little code that creates some fractions and prints them out. Let's change the numerator of my fraction. You know what? I want f to really represent 0. Okay? So I can change f from being 1/3 to 0/3. Great. I don't need a set. I've got it built in. Okay? And then let's keep going. Let's do f.denominator equals 0 as well. Because I've always wondered what 0 over 0 is. And I print it out and it says it's 0 over 0. Great! We have the fraction 0 over 0. Let's find out what the value of that is. Because wouldn't it be nice to know what 0 over 0 means? They told you in elementary school it doesn't exist, but clearly it does. We just created it. And we will see it prints out NaN, which is an abbreviation for not a number. Which is so not what we want. Okay? So we just broke fraction. How do we break fraction? We changed its denominator. And by changing its denominator, we put it into a state that does not make sense for what it is trying to model. This is something we want to be able to prevent. We want to keep people from messing up our objects, including ourselves. It's usually ourselves. We're very good at messing up ourselves. So what we're going to do is, instead of just making our numerator and denominator visible, we're going to make them private. By making numerator and denominator private, what does that mean? That means that only the fraction class can see them. Nobody else even knows they exist. Okay? So inside the fraction class, none of my code has to change. The fraction class still has access to the private things. Even down here in the add method, we have access to the private denominator of the other fraction. It's only private to fractions. It's not private to this particular fraction. But in my test fraction method, test fraction class, I'm no longer allowed to talk about f.numer. It's not visible. And so I'll get a compiler error, and it'll prevent me from getting into this bad state. I can't run this code. Okay? So make them private, I can't touch them. But if I can't touch them, I also can't change them. And this comes back to what was mentioned earlier. What if I want to change them? So the usual thing to do after you make them private seems kind of like undoing the private. We're going to make a public int getNumerator method that's going to return this.numer. And we'll make a getDenominator method that's going to return the denominator. Okay? So that people can find out what they are from outside the class. And we'll also actually make public set methods. So we'll make a set numerator that's going to change this as numerator to n. And we're going to make a set denominator method. It's going to set this as denominator equal to the provided number. Okay? So I made them private, and then I sort of unmade them private by making public setters and getters. Sometimes called mutators and accessors. Okay? I make these public methods. We get them in almost all Java code. Initially, this doesn't help us at all. It does mean that over here, instead of saying .numer, I say .setNumerator. Okay? And setDenominator. Instead of just using the equal sign directly. But it still allows me to get to my not a number situation with a zero denominator. Okay? So I've changed how my code works, but I haven't changed the problem. What I have done is make it easy to change the problem. So the problem happens when the denominator becomes zero, so I can just say if the d is not equal to zero, set the denominator. So if you're not trying to make it a zero denominator, go ahead and do that. What should we do if they do try to make a zero denominator? We could do anything we want. How about this? Let's say this.numerator equals zero, this.denominator equals one. Let's say if you try to set the denominator to zero, I'll make the fraction zero once. I could do something else. I can make it throw an error. I can make it do whatever I want to do, but I do something to keep you from getting into a bad state. Okay? If I didn't have a setter, if I didn't have a method set denominator and get denominator, if I just had direct access to denom, I couldn't give this protection, this wrapper that keeps people from doing bad things. By having them there, I can add this. So what happens when you're writing a class is you almost always will make all of the fields private, and you make getters and setters to access them. Even if your getters and setters are doing nothing interesting, like our numerator, getter, and setter, we'll still make the methods so that if later on we decide we want to control something, we can. We have that ability. Okay? Because getters and setters are so common, Eclipse actually makes this easy. In the source option of Eclipse, there is a generate getters and setters option, which will generate getters and setters for your fields. There's also a generate toString method, which will give you a default toString implementation. So if you were ever bored and you don't want to write it by hand, you could just go up and tell Eclipse to generate them for you. It will provide them, and away you go. Okay, so once I have my getters and setters, now when I run my code, it will protect me from saying the denominator equal to 1, that equal to 0, and make it do something else instead. All right. How are we doing on my list of things to come today? Okay. Any questions about any piece of this code? All right, let me talk about one more important thing to understand here. Let's do one more thing. I can still break my code. Okay, in the same way, I can make a new fraction, let's say 1/0. And we'll see that 1/0, according to Java, is infinity. Apparently, they don't understand you get 0 from both directions. Anyway, so we have 1/0 is infinity, according to Java. I probably don't want 1/0 to exist. So one thing I'll typically do after I create my getters and setters is I'll usually use them everywhere. So instead of using them here, set denominator. So I will use them inside my constructor, and that way the one place I have my checking code is just in the setter. Everywhere else gets that protection more or less for free. Okay? And so now I try to construct the value 1/0 and it gives me 0 instead, because that's what my setter does. Okay? So in general, I will try to use the setters everywhere, so I could go back through all of this code. I could change this right here to get numerator, this to set denominator, and so on. Okay. You can use the fields internally in your methods if you want. If there's a chance they might do something bad, you probably want to use the setters instead. But that's more or less a matter of choice. All right. So use the setters, use them in the constructor, use them anywhere else you want to use them. The other thing to note here, simplify is unlike add in that it changes the fields of my object, where add creates a new object but doesn't change this one. Okay, so add method does not change anything about this. It accesses things about this, but doesn't change any of the things about this. Where the simplify method does. This difference between methods that change things and methods that don't is general in a lot of things. For example, in the scanner class, next changes the scanner. It moves to the next part of the input, changes the state of the scanner. HasNext does not. I can call HasNext as many times in a row as I want. Nothing changes. I call next over and over again. It changes the world. Usually it's pretty obvious which one you want. Sometimes it's a matter of choice. I could have made a simplify method that returns a new fraction, a simplified copy of the fraction, instead of changing the fraction I've got. It's just something to think about as you're designing your classes. All right, that's the time I have for today. When we come back on Monday, we'll draw some more pictures. We'll give you an opportunity to draw some pictures. We'll talk some more nuances of how objects interact with each other. And from there, we will go forward. So enjoy your weekend.